Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Amber Enterprises India Limited Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Jasbir Singh, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello and good morning, everyone. On the call, I am joined by Mr. Daljit Singh, Managing Director, Mr. Sudhir Goyal, CFO, Mr. Sachin Gupta, CEO, RAC and CAC Division, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. We have uploaded our result presentation on the exchanges, and I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. Indian RAC market has grown to almost 8.4 million units in FY22-23 and poised to create healthy growth in the upcoming years owing to rise in temperatures, boom of residential sector, growing retail and hospitality sector, rising construction activities in the commercial and real estate space, along with rampant expansion on SME and commercial hubs. The growing construction projects across the country, supported by governmental spending towards infrastructure, would eventually result in the disproportionate demand for HVAC solutions by stepping up the transport infrastructure of the country, such as railways, metros, and buses. With AC industry peaking to a market size of 8.4 million in FY22-23 and the continuous rising demand for air conditioners, Amber looks forward towards an optimistic and steady growth in coming quarters. This year, we witnessed many brands shifting their strategies and adopting to in-source assembly rather than outsourcing. While markets looked this change as a threat, we at Amber turned it into an opportunity by expanding our offerings under the components and sub-assembly segment. Owing to the rise in components and sub-assemblies businesses, Amber during the year expanded its market share in room AC industry at manufacturing footprint level in value terms to 29.4% in financial year FY23 vis-à-vis 26.6% in FY22. In last 5 years, each division entered into adjacencies. I am glad to announce that all divisional engines are firing well by expanding geographies, adding customers and products, and expanding its wallet share in existing customers. The company is marching ahead in its export initiatives, have started getting approvals from its export customers, and expecting orders to flow in current financial year FY23-24. We remain focused on prudent asset allocation, which results in better return on investment while balancing growth, profitability, and improved return ratios. Witnessing a strong 4% jump in ROCE in FY23, which improved from 11% to 15% and expected to improve further in the range of 19%-21% in next 2-3 years' time. Our net working capital days has improved to 29 days from 39 days largely due to better control on inventories. Closed our financial year 23 at a net debt level of rupees 588 crores at consolidated level. During FY23, we did a CapEx of 698 crores at consolidated level that helped in increasing the profitability and improving the share of business in RAC segment and other divisions. Since IPO in FY18, Amber Group has transformed from largely a RAC player to a diversified B2B solution provider. While RAC remains to be our focus segment, all other divisions such as mobility, electronics, motors, and components are on a strong growth path, contributing significantly in both top line and bottom line with good return on investments. We are currently witnessing a muted quarter one FY24 due to unseasonal rains largely in the north part of India, which generates large amount of demand during this period. However, we are strongly hopeful to consistently grow our bottom line due to product mix change and operational efficiencies. I will now take you through the consolidated financial highlights. The revenue front for FY 2023, revenue stood at rupees 6,927 crores versus rupees 4,206 in FY 2022, marking a growth of 65%. For the quarter of Q4 FY 2023, revenue stood at rupees 3,003 crores versus rupees 1,937 crores in Q4 FY 2022, a growth of 55%. On operating EBITDA for FY 2023, operating EBITDA stood at rupees 475 crores versus 296 crores in FY 2022, a growth of 61%. For quarter four FY 2023, operating EBITDA stood at rupees 204 crores versus rupees 133 crores in Q4 FY 2022, a growth of 54%. Operating EBITDA margins for FY 2023 and Q4 FY 2023 stood at 6.9%. Financial year and Q4 operating EBITDA is before the impact of ESOP expense and other non-operating income and expenses. Now moving to the divisional performance. RAC and component divisions. For FY 2023, revenue stood at 5,074 crores versus 3,065 crores in FY 2022, marking a growth of 65%. For the quarter FY 2023, revenue stood at 2,371 crores versus 1,529 crores in Q4 FY 2022, a growth of 55%. For FY 2023, operating EBITDA stood at 284 crores versus 178 crores in FY 2022, a growth of 60%. For Q4 FY 2023, operating EBITDA stood at 140 crore versus 91 crores in Q4 FY 2022, a growth of 53%. This division has added new customers during FY 2023. This division has also realigned its strategy to offer comprehensive solutions in components and sub-assemblies in tandem with the strategy of RAC customers to insource the assembly businesses. We converted gas charging customer into complete manufacturing solution and also expanded geographical presence. On the mobility application division, which includes Sidwal, for FY 2023, revenue stood at rupees 422 crores versus 289 crores in FY 2022, marking a growth of 46%. For the quarter four FY 2023, revenue stood at 113 crores versus 82 crores in Q4 FY 2022, a growth of 37%. For FY 2023, operating EBITDA stood at 99 crores versus 67 crores in FY 2022, a growth of 47%. For quarter four FY 2023, operating EBITDA stood at 28 crore versus rupees 20 crore in Q4 FY 2022, a growth of 43%. This division is having a strong order book of more than 700 crores as of today. It commenced production of pantry systems for Vande Bharat Express, increasing its wallet share in existing customers. It has done transfer of technology agreements in the plug door segments and gangway segment, which will help in expanding their wallet share in the existing customers of railways and metros. Defense application for this division is also seeing a robust growth. On the electronic division, which includes IL JIN and EVER, for FY 2023, revenue stood at 1,125 crores versus 617 in FY 2022, marking growth of 82%. For the quarter four FY 2023, revenue stood at 4,155 crore versus rupees 245 crores in Q4 FY 2022, a growth of 69%. For FY 2023, operating EBITDA stood at 51 crores versus 26 crores in FY 2022, growth of 95%. For Q4 FY 2023, operating EBITDA stood at rupees 21 crore versus 13 crores in FY 2022, a growth of 53%. In this segment, the wearable segment is witnessing a strong growth. It has also done the pilot lot of telecom products also have started. It has onboarded new customers in wearable and telecom sectors, and the room AC PCBA market share has crossed 20% of the complete RAC sector in PCBA and is consistently growing. On the motors division, for FY 2023, revenue stood at 307 crore versus 236 crores in FY 2022, marking a growth of 30%. For the quarter 4 FY23, revenue stood at 105 crore versus 80 crores in FY22, a growth of 31%. For FY23, operating EBITDA stood at 42 crores versus 25 crore in FY22, a growth of 69%. For quarter 4 FY23, operating EBITDA stood at 16 crores versus rupees 9 crores in Q4 FY22, a growth of 78%. It is expanding BLDC motors now in ODUs and WACs and commercial segment of heating, ventilation and air conditioning. It is at advanced stages to add marquee clients in exports and also developing motors for newer applications other than RAC segment. With this, I would now open the floor for Q&As.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to limit your questions to two per participant. If time permits, you may join the queue for any follow-ups. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dhruv from Ambit. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, on a great set of numbers. Had a couple of questions. One is that, sir, the growth that we are seeing in the RAC business and the entire business in that sense, and you mentioned about new customer addition. So if you could just give some indication as to what was the quantum of the growth that was driven by new customer addition and how should we look at it going forward?
Well, good morning, Dhruv, and thanks. Each division has actually added customers. So from console level point of view, the newer customers addition, we don't have a number right now, but we can definitely come back to you at a later stage. But it has all these new customers that were added has come in quarter four, and that's the reason why quarter four revenue jumped significantly. So we were in touch with these customers from last 2 to 3 years, and as explained earlier, the lead times to onboard a customer is quite high in our businesses. And this was a very positive part from all the divisions' perspective. That has led to this kind of a growth.
Okay. And sir, question on Sidwal. So your order book now is at about 700 crores and there is optimism all around, railway and defense division. So from a, say, 3 to 4 year point of view, do you think that this business can double, with respect to whatever you've been doing on the defense and the other application side also? Or, it is just a one-time thing in FY24, your thoughts there?
No, you see, there are two things happening simultaneously. One is that, because Railway Ministry now is launching more of Vande Bharat Express, which is completely air-conditioned trains. Earlier, only 29 to 30% of coaches were getting air-conditioned. So that is one shift, which is increasing the addressable market. Second shift is newer kind of trains in the metro lines, which has been launched by Urban Development Ministry. Which is RRTS as well as the normal metro trains, rapid rail transit system. So we've got approvals in all the three categories. And what we are doing to further enhance our addressable market is to get into adjacencies. Like as I explained that we have entered into pantry systems for Vande Bharat Express. We've done a transfer of technology agreements for getting into doors and gangways, which will enhance our offerings to the same customers. So our offering in the bill of material of a metro will double. So from that perspective, it will be right to assume that, yes, we can double the revenue in 3 to 4 years' time.
Thank you, Mr. Dhruv. I request you to join the queue for any follow-ups. Thank you.
If you could just spell out, sir, just one small question. If you could just spell out the CAPEX number for FY 24 and 25.
FY23, we have done 698 crores, and this year we have planned for a capex of 350 to 375 crores, which will largely be spent on four areas: R&D and maintenance capex, and also expanding the expansion of the our subsidiary businesses, and also brownfield expansion in the components and sub-assembly segment.
Thank you, Dhruv. Request you to please join the queue for follow-up, as we have several participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Sharma from HDFC Life. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good morning. Thanks for your time. Just three, four questions. One, if you could give us the volume breakup, for your RAC business for 23 and if possible between split and windows. Second, if you could just, I mean, you did mention that, Q1 seems to be a little muted and, we are aware that there have been, unseasonal rainfall across north and a couple of other regions. So if you could talk about a channel inventory, is it only in the north where inventory seems to be high, or are you seeing that across other parts of the country as well? And thirdly, in terms of your overall industry growth itself for 24, you did talk of a number closer to 8.4, 8.5 million in 23. Given, summers have kind of been a little weak to start off, how do you see volumes for the full year?
Good morning, Ankur.
Hi, sir.
On the volume side, we've stopped giving the volume numbers because it has become a company sensitive information. We saw it in past that some of the customers, they took the numbers and started renegotiating, which was negative for the company. On the value terms, I have explained that we have started seeing our offering to customers from a wallet share on the bill of material part. So at 8.4 million number, the market size comes to about 25,000 odd crores, which converts into 17,640 crore in the manufacturing footprint level. And room AC plus the room AC components, we have done about 5,194 crores, which comes to about 29% market share. So that is on the value terms. On your second question on Q2 status, yes, the demand is muted and we are all seeing very unseasonal rains in the middle of the May. Temperatures in Delhi on 2nd of May was 21 degrees. So you can expect, the air conditioner system. But yes, channel inventory is high as we speak today. We are hopeful that this will be liquidated in the month of June and July. On the overall industry growth, we were optimistic that industry will touch about 17 to 18% growth. But now I think we are still hopeful, looking into the lifestyle shift and power adequacy plus other so many other reasons. Industry should be in a 10 to 15% range in the financial year end. So that's our estimates. So 8.4 million should move to about 9.5 by financial year end.
Sure. And how do you see margins also, sir, if I may squeeze in one, because especially on the standalone level, margins have, at the EBITDA level, we used to be at about 7-8%. This year, we are at a number closer to 4%. So, given inventory is high, brands are facing pressures, not able to take price hikes, how do you see yourself, do you think margins can improve either because of price increases, but I think that looks difficult given the brand themselves are suffering. So how do you see margins and obviously pricing?
Ankur, I have been actually, requesting each of the investors and analysts every time I've met in last 5 years that please don't see our balance sheet in the percentage of margins. Percentage of margins are complete function of commodities, currency and product mix. Now, what we see is the absolute number. And that's what we are focused on. So for us, for example, I go to a customer and he offers me to supply a 100 crore business on the component side, which is at a 8 to 9% margin. But he also asked me to put about 70-80 crores of sub-assemblies, which is actually a pass-through for me. So from my point of view, the billing will be 180 to him, but the percentage of margins will drop. But I can't say no to it. So as a solution provider, comprehensive solution provider, we need to see the absolute number growth. That's what I guided earlier, has been guided, and I would again guide is that, we look at the CAGR of delivering 25 to 30% of absolute EBITDA numbers on year-to-year basis, irrespective of the margins on the gross margins. The gross margin on the standalone, which you are seeing, which is looking at the subdued level is primarily because we have added a lot of components business, but other sub-assemblies have also started actually getting added. So today, customers, most of the customers, they move on lean manufacturing systems and they outsource much of the assembly part to customers like us. So that's why you are looking at the balance sheet shows you a number of 5% on the gross margin side.
Thank you, Mr. Sharma. I request you to join the queue for any follow-ups. The next question is from the line of Bhumika Nair from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations, sir, on a good set of numbers. So my first question is, you know, on the market share, which has now become 29%, and you spoke about PCBs being about 20% of the industry. So, you know, from the rest of the kind of components that we have, say motors or in terms of the plastic molding, et cetera, what is the level of market share? And on an overall basis, how do you see this inching up to 29%, or is this something that we are starting to hit a ceiling? Number two, if you could just talk about you know, the overall exports outlook on both motors as well as on AC. And the motors, you know, margins have inched up to 15% over the last two quarters. So is this something which is sustainable? And sorry if I may just lastly just squeeze in on the CapEx number. You spoke about a 350 odd crores of CapEx in 24. You know, last couple of years, you've seen a very aggressive CapEx cycle per se. Do you see that kind of tapering off, and where do you see the net debt level settling into the next one or two years?
Good morning, Bhumika, and thanks. So I'll start with your first question on the components share of business, other than the inverter PCB board. So I think on the motors front, PICL is the leading company today in the motors front. We will be sitting somewhere about close to about 26 to 27% market share on the component side. And in sheet metal, we are the largest in the country, giving solutions in the sheet metal side. We should be somewhere about 35 to 40%. And then on the cross flow fan side, again, we are one of the leaders, again, having about 25% market share. So in each category of the components, except heat exchanger, which is largely made in-house by customers, we are enjoying a dominant share in the component side. Now, your question about whether the 29% can go upward, that will completely depend. Yes, our endeavor is to take it upward. We have already jumped by almost 300 basis points from 26 to 29%. We will endeavor to move further inch upwards as we move ahead. On the exports of motors front, in the you know, it's growing steadily. It takes about 2 to 3 years, as I explained earlier to everybody, for getting customer approvals, because this is a functional component. We have received approvals from our customers, and we are expecting to add two large customers within this financial year. On the sustainability of margins on the motor side, it will completely depend on the product mix side in the percentages terms. But yes, there will be a definitely growth on the absolute numbers. So BLDC motors, they are little less in the margins. Other than BLDC, we are enjoying good margins. So it will completely depend on what is the but on the absolute number, we are expecting a good growth. On net debt level, we closed the year at 588 crores, and I think we are expecting to close the FY24, given the capex which I have announced. Despite of that, by at least it will come down by 100 to 150 odd crores in this financial year.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonali Salgaonkar from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers. So my first question is regarding price hikes. Also, with respect to the new BEE models that are there in the system now, so what is the quantum of price hikes that you have taken from January till now? And also an extension to this question is, the transition to the new BEE almost complete, and have all channels now restocked the new models?
Yeah, good morning, Sonali, and thanks. On the price hike, there has been no price hikes because commodities have not, it's more or less stabilized now. And BEE norms, everybody has adjusted. All the inventories are well taken care of, and it has been digested by the market. So it's a new normal now.
Understand. So, and second question, any update on the PLIs, please? You have received two PLIs, one in the normal category, one in the large category. Any update you'd like to share at this point in time?
So we have crossed our threshold limits both on the incremental the capex which was required and also the incremental sales. So we've ticked both the part of the PLI eligibility, and we are eligible. I think within this financial year we expect to receive the first part of the PLI.
Understand, sir. And on the incentive, what is your strategy on that? Would you like to share it back with the brand owners or retain it with yourself?
So we have not shared any incentives with the brand owners because there is no equity investments done by our brand in the capex required by the government for getting eligible in the PLI. And we are not sharing any part of the PLI with any of the customers.
Sonali, may I request you to join the queue for any follow-ups?
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhav Mada from Fidelity International. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good morning. Thank you so much for your time once again. I completely understand that, percent margins is not the right way to look at the business, but if you look at the REC and component division, where we reported 284 crores of EBITDA in FY23, so as we go into FY24 and 25, you did indicate that, we can grow ahead of the industry. But just how should the EBITDA basically shape up? Because last year, there was a lot of volatility in terms of commodity costs, product mix shift, etc. So just as we go into FY24, if you could give us some sense in terms of how the EBITDA overall on an absolute basis should grow.
So I think we are seeing a stability in the commodity cycle. I don't think so there should be any further change in the commodity cycle. And so we should be able to maintain what we are at. But yes, we expect to see some kind of operational leverage because capacity utilization at our new plants are little less, which will also add some bit of margins going forward.
Got it. And just in terms of the ESOP cost as well, that should start coming down. Like I'm assuming that would have peaked out in FY22 or 23 for us.
Hi. So ESOP cost for the current financial year, like the financial year 22-23, is 27 crores. And the current financial year, which is like financial year 24, we are expecting it is around 18 to 19 crores. It will start coming down over the period.
Got it. And what's the capacity utilization at our plant currently? Is there like a blended number that you have or any broad sense you can give us? That would be very helpful.
Madhav, each of the division is at different capacity utilization.
Yeah. We
talk about two greenfield facilities which we've just started. It was started in, Siri City started in quarter four. And we just ended up having 20% capacity utilization. But this year we expect the capacity utilization to go to at 35-40%. But other than that, all divisions are at different levels. So on a blended basis, I would say we should be at about 65-70%.
Madhav, request you to please join the queue for any follow-up. So we have several participants waiting for the turn. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Arora from Access Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. I understand you have stopped giving the volumes for the reason which you stated. But generally, in the last 4-5 years, in the standalone side, which is your RAC, you've grown at 24%, 23-24% CAGR. What could be the industry CAGR in that case?
Industry has grown about 16-17% CAGR.
Okay. Then, sir, what was the need of moving into the component side? Just a little structural question, because one, a company loses 400-500 basis points of margin, you become a very thin margin company on the RAC from about 7-8% to 4%. So generally as a business call, when you are increasing the market share, if you would have lost it, you would have moved to the other business in terms of increasing your content. When someone is gaining the market, then what was the need of coming to the component where you're losing out in terms of even ROE, ROC? If you can throw some light, I understand as a promoter it's a long-term call, but generally doesn't add up, the call that we are not losing market share. That's the only question, sir. Thank you.
First of all, we should be very clear in with what category of business we are in. We are a B2B company, so we are not a brand, we are not a B2C company. In B2B businesses, you need to be flexible in your approach to realign your strategies whenever a customer decides to shift its strategies. You know, our endeavor is to be thick and thin with the customers in their journey on a long-term basis, irrespective of their strategies to insource or outsource. So earlier, the market was moving towards outsourcing. It peaked to almost about 41% of the industry was outsourced in FY21. And then when the PLI got announced, all the major customers decided to put their assembly units on their own. So they plan to take everything in sourcing. And the last year we saw that 41% opportunity came down to 35%. This year our estimate is it will be as low as 30% and further come down to 25%. Now in this shift, how can you grow more than the industry? Now that has been always our endeavor, that we have to outnumber the industry in value terms. So we shifted our strategy proactively, looking, and we became very aggressive on the component strategy, because we can deliver 70% of a bill of material to a customer other than compressor and other than wiring harnesses and packing material. That is the advantage of Amber. And through our 25 manufacturing locations, we are present now in entire of the geography of India, wherever you want. And this strategy proved very well. Now tomorrow, imagine if this situation get reversed, we already have capacities for room air conditioners. And we can deliver both numbers in the volume terms as well as in the component side, whatever you want. So we want to grow with you as a customer, moving into, as you are moving ahead in the market share perspective. So on the market share, we have not lost even a single customer. It is just the strategy has shifted. So if customer has taken their assembly in-house, we have started supplying them components.
Got it. This is helpful, sir. But generally, as an outlook from here, because your CAGR in EBITDA is just 3%, you think this CAGR will start going up if the strategy is working well for you?
Yeah,
from a profitability, yeah.
Yeah, it will go in line with the industry growth as we are growing from here onwards.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pankaj Tibrewal from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning, Pankaj.
Yeah, hi. On the CAPEX side, we have done a very aggressive CAPEX over the last 2 years. And as a result, our asset turns and the shift in business has suffered on the margin side. And the resultant impact has been on the return on capital. Can you give us some sense on how you foresee in the next couple of years this matrix to start improving, and what will contribute? A little more granular detail will be appreciated. Thank you.
So little, I think green shoots are visible in the last financial year results, 400 bps increase in the return on capital employed, largely because of operational efficiencies. And this will continue further. We are not going for any large capex like we did last year. So we will be having more free cash flows in hand, and the operational efficiencies and the control on the inventories all put together, plus the product mix change will help us to reach to 19-21% level in next 2 to 3 years time.
Okay. Because when we look at the last few years, you have done about 1800 to 2000 crores, inclusive of acquisitions, capex, everything. But the profitability has not commensurately, expanded accordingly. So now you think that the capex cycle probably will not be that to that intensity. And with whatever you are talking about on the industry and your growth should help you improve your return on capital. Is that the understanding right?
Yes, that's right. And Pankaj, on a practical basis, out of this 700 crore capex, which we have done, 698 crores, last part of about 300 crore capex has been done in February and March. Now, results have yet to come. So if I minus that, our ROCs, if you calculate, have already touched 17.5%. But we are not talking about that. So there's a lot of capacity. But whenever you put up a plant, greenfield facility especially, you know, it is larger part of the building and the plant, but the real operational leverage comes over a period of years. So that's right understanding what you have said. Moving forward, we are focusing on all the areas for returning, improving the return ratios.
Because when we look at the reported number, it still looks high single digit, about 8.5-9%. So there still seems to be a long way to reach that 18-19%. So I'm not very sure that how that number of 19% in next 2 years is coming through. That means the asset turn needs to really improve from the capex which you have done.
Oh, hi Pankaj, Sudhir here. How this like 8% or 9% comes on the ROC side?
Yes, please.
Maybe
because of the capital expanded base on the overall, yeah, we can connect it
separately and just see that how you have calculated the number, because as per our calculation it is coming to 15% for the current financial year.
Okay, let's connect it separately and take it forward from
sure.
And just last one on just BG, on the outsourcing part which you spoke about, when you look at one of your competition and their AC revenues have grown multifold over the last 2 years, and that traction still continues to be very strong. What is the disconnect kind of we are missing out there? The competition is talking about aggressive growth numbers, but on the other side, we are seeing that percentage is coming down. Are we missing something from our understanding perspective?
No, we are not missing anything, Pankaj. We are just not onboarding lower margin businesses. It's a very cautious call which we have taken, and that's the strategy.
Okay.
Mr. Tibrewal, may I
request you to join? Thank you.
Yes, thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikunj Gala from Sundaram AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning everyone. So I have two questions. Firstly, again on the, you know, the ROC part. So, you know, if, you know, few comments which you made that your blended capacity utilizations are 65-70, even if I adjust the capacity of 300 crore which came in February month, you know, from FY20 base, sir, our capital employed has more or less become 1.8 times, sir. And during this period, our absolute EBIT, like you are, you know, focusing on that, the absolute EBIT is the focus and not the percentage. So on the during this period from FY20 to 23, our absolute EBIT has hardly grown in tandem with the capital employed in the business. So is it a right understanding that incremental the EBIT which is coming in is at a lower ROC than the earlier nature of the business?
Hi, Sudhir here. So yeah. If you see our capital employed, it was 1900 crore in the last financial year and now grown to 2542 crores, a growth by 32%.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas EBITDA improvement on the operating EBITDA improvement, it is more than 60%. I tell you, I think you where the calculation is going wrong from your side based on the face of the balance sheet. So there is some investment, cash investment in the bond equivalent to amount 191 crores, which you might not be considering to calculate the net debt level.
Because you know I was just looking like reported numbers at equity side, and the, you know, even I was excluding the, you know, the cash part, but I'll, you know, take it offline to understand your, you know, 15% reported ROC, which according to our calculation comes, you know, hardly double digit kind of a number. Okay. And secondly, the
calculation of the same.
Hello.
We are not taking cash in hand.
Even I was removing that part, sir, that, you know, core capital employed in the business from the, and this is on the net block, sir. So even on the gross block, it would be, you know, high single digit. So in net block, which currently we have, you know, highly depreciated one. So at a gross incremental return on capital perspective, I think it would be hardly double digit kind of ROC we would be making on the incremental capital employed.
So on the incremental capital employed, like Jasbir ji has mentioned, that the capex which we have done in the second half of the financial year, the green shoots of the same will be coming in the upcoming years. So it doesn't come in the same year. Like last part of the capex has been done in the quarter four as well. So you will see the better return over the period, and the latest capex will give you the more returns in the coming years.
Just put it in a very different question then. As of March, whatever capacity or block we have, sir, you know, assuming whatever block we have on FY23, what is the absolute EBIT you can generate on this block, sir?
Maximum EBIT.
That
need a detailed calculation to work on and give the EBIT calculation for the same.
Okay.
But on the sales turnover, like asset turn, we can easily go like from here, we can reach around 9,000 to 10,000 crores with the current capex base.
Okay, sure. And just lastly, in the presentation where you mentioned Amber's value market share, the Amber sales which you have mentioned are the standalone numbers. As per our understanding, this standalone revenue used to contain some non-AC component sale also, right?
This Amber sales includes RAC and RAC component. This Amber here means Amber group, which includes RAC sale of Amber, RAC
okay.
component sale of Amber,
okay.
complete motor sales of which used in the RAC,
inverter
PCB board for the RACs.
Okay.
This all includes the complete RAC,
anything to do with
RAC, which we are offering to the customers.
Okay, so this is not the standalone, because the numbers were exactly matching with the standalone numbers, so that's why I ask. It's not a standalone number, right?
No, it's not standalone number.
Okay.
Mr. Gala, may I request you to join the queue for follow-up? Yeah, thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Bhartia from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. I wanted to understand about the PLI scheme. How are you going to book the incentives given that you have crossed the threshold limit? Have you booked some incentives as income in this year itself, or will they be recorded once you receive it in the next year?
So, Aditya, we are following the accrual base of accounting. So, incentive is already booked in the financials for the financial year 22-23, whatever is the threshold, since we have achieved that and we have already filed a QPR as well with the government. So that is being booked in the books of accounts.
Understood. And we have crossed the threshold limits in both the schemes, right? So we'll be receiving
Amber,
possibly 15 crores?
We crossed both the threshold limits of CAPEX as well as sales.
No. I meant for Amber as well as for the electronics business.
No. Electronics, we took the first 2 years as a gestation period. So 21-22 and 22-23 is the investment period only. So CAPEX we have already done and crossed the threshold limits. So first year of ILGIN electronic one, for sales threshold will be the financial year 24.
Understood. And sir, I was just wondering, given that our CAPEX numbers have been higher than what was initially being envisaged, if I look at the large investment schemes also under the PLI scheme, that would have entailed an investment of 600 crores, which honestly we have already done. So why didn't we then opt for the large scheme and opted for normal investment scheme? At least our incentives could have been higher.
In the PLI scheme, the eligible CAPEX is only the CAPEX done for the component businesses, not for the assembly line and not for the land and building as well, because this 698 crore includes a large part of the land and building as well, which doesn't fall under the PLI capital investment.
And Aditya, over to that, what Subir has explained, the large investment block comprised of compressor, copper and aluminium, which we will not participate in.
Aditya, request to join the queue for any follow-up. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alok Deshpande from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Good morning to the Amber team and congratulations on the good set of numbers. Just one question from my side. So this year or probably over the past 2 or 3 years, we have seen several new AC brands come in the market. So I just wanted to understand in terms of the value market share gain that we have seen, you know, how much of this has been with those new brands, as in, can you share some number in terms of the number of brands that you were working with, let's say 3 years back and let's say FY23, some color on that?
We've got about close to about 26 customers in the room AC category, and they keep on shifting as per their market shares. and as per their requirement. So it's very difficult to answer your question on the newer brands.
Okay. And so just one question on working capital. How should we look at working capital going forward over the next 2 or 3 years?
So on our net working capital days, we've almost touched 29 days from 39 days, and I believe this is maintainable part from 35 to 30 days.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Sheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
No, my questions are being answered. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anupam Goswami from SUD Life. Please go ahead.
Congratulations.
Anupam, your voice is breaking. We are not unable to hear you clearly. May I request you to come in?
Hi, am I audible now?
Much better. Please go ahead.
Yes. My first question on the outsourcing industry, you said how it was 41% 2 years back, and now with the PLI scheme, it has come down to almost 25% in this year. On that note, and you mentioned about the industry size growing at 10 to 15%. So on that note, our outsourced unit market share or industry, that is becoming flat. And how do we see to outgrow that for Amber?
Let me give you again clear picture that we are a B2B player. So we have to move accordingly. We have to realign our strategies according to the strategies of our customer. Now, in our business model, we have de-risked two large risks. First risk is that brands keep on exchanging market shares between them. Earlier, from 2004 till 2011, LG was the undisputed leader. Then Voltas became the leader. Now, we don't know who's going to be the leader in the next couple of years. Our offering from that perspective, if we are supplying to all the major brands, that shift doesn't impact us. Second is their strategy of insourcing, outsourcing, that can shift anytime. That is, we don't control. Whenever they want to shift their strategy to insourcing or outsourcing, we need to realign our strategies. So it is irrelevant today to look at the numbers of volume terms. From our perspective, from a B2B player perspective, it is important to see, are we growing with that customer or not? You know, if I have done 200 crore business last year, am I doing 300 crore business this year or not? In case he is growing. You know, so that is what we look at. How does it matter to us whether I'm supplying 70% of bill of material or 100% of bill of material in a finished goods format? It doesn't matter to us. For us, the wallet share in the customer matters and the growth with them matters. That's what we focus on.
Okay. So and how is that has grown with the same customer bill of material growth?
Yeah, it has grown. That's how we have increased our share from 26 to 29% in the whole industry range.
Okay. Last question is how do
join the queue?
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
Sure.
The next question is from the line of Jayesh Shah from OHM Portfolio Equity Research. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I just have one basic question. When you have shifted your strategy from outsourcing to insourcing with components and assemblies, in terms of absolute ticket size per customer, I'm talking of, say, unit value, does it go up or go down?
It completely varies from customer to customer. If customer wants to supply, they want us to supply sub-assemblies also, then it is almost on the same part, because earlier they were supplying compressors, so that's a pass-through. Other than that, if we are supplying components in a separate bit, it becomes almost similar. But if customer chooses not to take all the kind of customers from components from us, they want to take few of the components from us, then it will reduce. So it will vary from customer to customer.
Understood. And what has been generally your experience with your customers?
Generally experience, so I can give you example of one Korean customer. When they took their business in-house, we were doing about 156 crore business with them while supplying ACs. But when they shifted their strategy to in-house, today we are supplying them almost 600 crore business of components to them. So it
it completely varies because it opens our door to many folds when we start supplying components. You know, not only in their room air conditioner division, but their other divisions also start buying components from us.
That's helpful. So in another way, do you look at value add per customers which come to you or accrue to you as margins? Is it going up every year? Is that how you look at your
that's
business?
That's the main part which we look at. That one is, are we growing in tandem with their growth? So if customer has grown by 20%, are we growing more than that? If I'm supplying, I was supplying one component to them and I'm supplying three components to them today, my growth will be more than that with the same customer. And plus the value comes in the bottom line, what we are generating earlier and what we are generating today with that customer.
Yeah, so let's say your margin per customer, your top 10 customer, has it remained constant or has it changed?
No, it keeps on varying. It completely depends on the product mix, what kind of product mix they are wanting us to supply them. So we need to be geared up to deliver them any kind of mix of components versus kits versus finished goods whenever they want. So that's the strategy, and margins will keep on varying.
Mr. Shah, request you to join the queue for any follow-ups as we have several participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. The next question is from the line of KU from ICICI Prudential Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Congratulations to the team for great results. Sir, first question is on the RAC growth. You have mentioned that RAC and component segment, company will outgrow the industry. Now, when you talk about say 10 to 15% kind of growth for the industry and higher channel inventory, so generally we have seen some kind of lag in our growth when inventory is higher in the system. So what will drive our growth faster than the industry growth? And will that be back-ended since inventory is high or would be high in the first half? That is so, first question.
You know, largely what we do is we keep on horizontally deploying our complete range of components with the customers. So for example, I'm supplying customer A only motors and heat exchangers. Now this year I have started heat exchangers, motors I was already giving. We have started supplying them sheet metal and cross flow fans. So my offering to them increases irrespective of their, even if they don't grow, my business will grow with them. So that's what we are doing with almost every customer. That's why we are saying that we'll outnumber the industry.
Okay. So that commentary that is there in the presentation also, that relates to the entire consolidated business, or I thought it is for standalone business where it mentions that we'll grow faster than the industry growth.
Yeah, this is on a standalone basis.
Okay, so basically even that also will be say driven by the components in the standalone business. Faster growth will be driven by components.
Yeah, it can happen also, finished goods also. I mean, you know, for us, it matters that if, for example, customer A is growing by 20%, are we growing 25% with them or not? So, you know, that is what we need to see.
But you are confident of outgrowing the industry?
Yes. Last year also, everybody was skeptical about Amber, that every customer of us has started their own factories who will procure materials from Amber, but we've proved everybody that the strategies of de-risking is right, and you know, we've outnumbered the industry. Industry hasn't grown by 60%, but Amber has grown by 65%.
KU, may I request to join the queue for any follow-up as we have several participants waiting. Thank you. The next question is on the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. My first question is on the motor division. Can you help us understand what is the size of the industry? What kind of growth do you expect from the industry? And what is the kind of market share that you have within the space? How many competitors are there? And also, what is the contribution of the AC division within this?
We are competing with a Japanese company called Nidec, and then there's a European company, American company called Regal Beloit, which was earlier GE Motors Marathon Electric. They compete with us. And of course, a large part of motors continue to be imported from China. So large part of the competition is in from China, not from India. On the overall size, you know,
I think at 8.4 million numbers, the motors we sell is close to about 1,000 rupees per AC. So that is the market size we are talking of today, of the complete. Out of that, almost 60% of motors are imported from China and other divisions.
So what kind of growth are you expecting here?
We are expecting close to about 30 to 35% growth in motor division, largely because we are expanding our offering not only in RAC but other part of heating, ventilation and air conditioning products, and also some bit of exports are opening up for us.
Thank you. Mr. Singhal, please join the queue for any follow-ups. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinod Chari from BOP Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I think my question has been answered. My question was similar to what was asked earlier in terms of your margin profile. I think FY18, you were at close to 9% margins in the AC and component business. So now we have gone down to 6%. So again, it's the same thing. You know, is it like a structural margin that we're looking at these levels?
Yeah, so margins, actually percentages of margins doesn't matter to us. You know, so it matters the absolute growth, because we don't define what customer wants from us. We supply what they ask. So their sub-assemblies can increase, their kits can increase. I mean, for example, if I am supplying a finished goods and in that compressor and heat exchanger is getting supplied by customer, I can't demand a margin on that part of it. But my billing will be to a tune of close to complete AC. But whereas in other cases on the component side, you know, so what we see is the blended basis of the absolute number with the same customer.
Okay, because I think your component has grown at almost three times the rate at which the AC business has grown in the last 5 years. So is that contributing to a lower margin profile, is what I wanted to understand?
No, no, it's basically sub-assemblies, it is components, it is also electronics also. We have electronics division, which is at about 4.5% EBITDA level. So there are many factors, you know, it's a diversified company today. So we have businesses ranging from 4.5% to 23% EBITDA levels.
Lastly, on working capital, how is your working capital ex-Sidwal, and what is Sidwal's working capital?
Sidwal's working capital is actually 110 net working capital days, but on a console level, it is 29 days.
Okay. And so what is the ex-Sidwal ROC that you have currently?
Well, we haven't calculated that. We'll let you know separately.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference back to the management for their closing remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, everyone, for joining on the call. I hope we have been able to address most of your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with SGA, our investor relations advisors. And have a good day ahead. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Amber Enterprises India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.